Alrighty, kia ora everybody. Gee, I know it's loud up here. We have just had a viewing of the documentary, and it has been amazing. Kia ora everybody, hope you're doing well. And welcome to the Magic Dicol Last Day Events News. And I've got my brother, Vinny Eastwood, as in, you know, go ahead, make my news, waiting in the background there. He's already live. I'm late, so my apologies for being late. But it's been awesome to have this event tonight, which I'll talk more about that in a second. Now, I'm just going to bring in Brother Vinny, so just give us a quick second. And we're going to go to Skype. We're going to go there. And I'm kind of almost nervous.
Skype 22. There we go, baby.
And there
we go. Hey, everybody.
Here he is. Happy anniversary, honey.
Yeah. Yeah, man. 2 years waiting in the wings from all this crapola. Oh, matey potatey. So, yeah, 2 years ago tonight, we were planning our little protest. And tomorrow at midday, we're going to be doing a another live stream, which was the actual time of the protest. We started at midday, and we were arrested at 12:45.
Exactly. All right. Now, what I'm going to do, just bear with me 1 second, Vinny. I'll just do my usual bit of housekeeping and to welcome everybody in. And I'll just go back to camera one just for a second. Guys, I just did a fantastic event. We just watched episode one documentary, and it was just, wow, the feedback that we've had from all these hardened documentary lovers and people that love the freedom movement here in Whangarei, in the area of Whangarei. And it's just been awesome. So I'm just going to say, can everybody wave out? All right, there you go. Just we're all over the place here. And the feedback was just amazing. People, in fact, people want more of it now. Now, just quickly, if you'd like to support me in the work that I do, please, whānau, I'd be very grateful. I'm still figuring out how I'm going to be paying my legal fees in the next, I've got 2 weeks to pay another 17 grand, which is a lot of money. And I haven't had a chance to talk about that tonight to all my buddies here. But if you would like to support me, and don't forget, this is the account to use if you'd like to help me to do the work I do and to meet my legal fees cost. And also a little reminder, if you'd like to buy a beautiful guitar, I'm happy to sell my baby here. And let me know, email me at billy@ibc.net.nz. And I'm selling this beautiful American-made Fender Stratocaster, which will help me pay my legal fees as well. And I'm not crying over it. It's just one of those things for now. Okay, also on the 3rd of September, family, please come and support the release of the River of Lies in New Zealand Scamdemic investigative documentary. Brother Vinny will be with me, and it's going to be spectacular, I promise. The feedback I'm getting about this documentary is just, what can I say? I'm deeply humbled, but I'm relieved. It's been a year in the making, and we've got 3 incredible episodes. This is episode 1, just under 2 hours. And people just said how quickly the first half went. They didn't even know that it was that the time had gone up. We didn't watch all of the doco, just the stuff that I could download in time for the meeting tonight. So it went very, very well. And pray that you will be able to come and enjoy this amazing occasion, because we all deserve it. Something for everyone, as well as a fundraiser for my legal fees as well, which has been a long time coming to come to end of that journey. All right, so let's go back to Brother Vinny. Brother Vinny, tell me about what's happening in the life of Vinny Eastwood right now before we unpack the last 2 years and our starting with our arrest. How's things?
Well, I'd be lying if I said that it's all good and I'm feeling great and full of energy and well rested and that kind of thing. It's more along the lines of severe difficulty dealing with the actual problems that we've brought down on ourselves to a large degree, and it's weighing on me quite heavily, and it's difficult to get through an ordinary day at this point. And you know, of course, trying to pay off all those debts to the lawyers is not easy either. And so I'd like people to go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. And go ahead, ladies and gentlemen, make a small donation of like a grand, please, to help me pay off my legal fees. That would be lovely, you know.
All right, mate. So I've lined up some things here very seriously. We made that decision on the 17th of August. Now, we just had Sister Bhadra in the chat just remind me that she was there with us when we were talking about and planning the protest in Te Awamutu. She was right there with us talking about it and sitting there at the table with us, along with Mary O'Brien and Sean and Kane and Tichina. We're all there in Te Awamutu, where we decided, yes, we had to. We absolutely had to protest. What was it for? It was to get the government to understand that what they were doing was killing people. And if there's one thing that's come out really strong in the documentary, is just how unbelievable it was that they did that. I don't want to give too much away, but everyone that has seen the documentary clip tonight has been pretty blown away with it, and they're like, wow, this is unreal. And so I'm really encouraged to do that. Now, what are we looking at here? I'm glad you asked. This here is the moment that you came up to me, and there's a photo of you talking to me there, to tell me that the police wanted to talk to me. Now, I'm going to play some footage here of the whole saga of our arrest, and it's hard watching it. It's in the documentary. I've got a heavily edited version, but you're right in some ways. We did. We decided that we had to protest. No one made us do that, but circumstances made us do it. Because for me, Vinny, I felt compelled as a person with a profile to have to protest against those lockdowns. And now they know, they admit it, that it killed people, it didn't help. And anyway, this is what it looks like. Let's go back for a few minutes.
Which you are required to do under Article 2 of the Waikaputanga, that restricts any government acting against the laws of civil communities. This is a pattern of behaviour that you have followed.
Thank you.
Right, I'm going to give it a little break there. Vinny, we're not even into the your stuff yet, but what happens for you when you see that and recall all of that?
I mean, I'd done a little documentary of my own about all this.
Yes.
And of course, it wasn't easy to see. Watch myself getting arrested and you getting arrested over and over and over and over again, as you do when you're editing.
Yeah.
And so I kind of got all my heckles out in the process of doing that. However, my theory was that if I was repeatedly exposed to this trauma over and over again, that it would subside somewhat and I'd feel better or something. That's not true. You know, I still feel just as bad. The difference is now I can watch that footage and not burst into tears.
I know the feeling. I just want to play, I've just kicked it forward a bit because, you know, there's some pretty compelling footage. I want to take it forward a bit because some of the footage here people wouldn't have seen before. Let's have a look. Oop, let's take that away. We will accept no country! This is where you are getting people organised. System one. What I ask of you all is not get angry. I know that was really, really hard to watch for all of us, but we really, really, really need to get in touch and find out what is going on. Okay? That's all I ask. I'm sorry that I just want to hurt people.
Everybody cluster, please, now, they're going to take me. They're going to try and take me. Look, are you quiet? Now, please,
Now that little man there, by the way, I just want to dwell on him a second.
Ah, Black Curran.
That's Luke Curran, who was meant to meet me that morning to help me with the strategic planning. Like every other protest that I'd done, I'd been in contact with the police earlier that morning, had a great discussion with the operational police manager, who told me that that guy was going to meet me, and he didn't. He didn't turn up. He said he would be there to meet me, to help me, and the only time I saw him was when he threw a piece of paper at me 2 minutes before the, 5 minutes before the end of the event, and arrested me. All right, let's just keep this going, then we'll unpack it.
Of the Chinese Communist Party, the New Zealand police are now acting under the movements of the Chinese Communist Party. They are using crowd control methods.
All right. So, Vinny, I still find that hard to watch. Your arrest. What's going through your mind at that point when you were arrested? What was the thought?
Well, I was pretty upset that you'd been arrested, frankly, and because you didn't kick up much of a stink, you know, when you got arrested, you were like, oh, okay, guys, you know, I'm being arrested now, and I'm sure I'll be let go soon.
Yeah.
And whereas me having to see you be arrested, and I tried to calm the crowd down, because they were very angry. I had to tell them to calm the hell down many times at the request of Maureen. And then I was like, okay, well, let's try and make this as dramatic as possible. All right. Let's put a little bit of inflection in the voice. Oh, please protect me. You know, that kind of thing. And then when you cut to Jono's footage of me being marched to the paddy wagons, I'm standing up straight. I don't answer questions. I don't stand under your authority. What? Now, the thing is, we're engaging in political theatre here. Okay, theatre being the operative word. And people don't change their minds based upon information. They change their minds based on emotion, and so I played up that emotional card right there while I was being arrested, just for the cameras and things of that nature. I mean, yes, it was very traumatizing and kind of scary, and I was very sad that you'd been arrested and what have you, and of course having complex post-traumatic stress from previously being arrested, you know, didn't help a terribly large amount. But you know, I could have stayed in silence. I could have not asked people to help me or something. I could have tried to talk to the police officer, pleaded with them a little bit more. But who knows? It's all ifs, buts, and maybes. Because in situations like that, you're not necessarily thinking. Because your brain's in total fight or flight, and you're just kind of reacting. And usually the way I react when bad things are happening to me is I ask for help.
Yeah, exactly. Now, is your level full up, Brother Vinny? Because some people are saying it's hard to hear you.
No.
Okay, are you full on?
I am on my end, but it might be a little bit different on yours. You can possibly turn up the loop back a little bit, perhaps.
Where's that over here? You can see that over there. Where do I go to?
You see the three dots next to that speaker underneath the loopback?
That one there?
Yeah.
Yep.
Click on that.
Okay.
And go to Advanced Audio Properties.
Advanced Audio Properties.
Okay, and then have a look at your loopback there.
That one there?
Yeah, the one that's working currently.
Left.
And they all need to be downmixed to mono.
Oh, where do I go and do that?
There's a little mono button, little checkbox right next to it. To your left. To your left.
Ah, to the over there?
Yeah, there you go.
Click that.
That's right. And also we want to turn the 0.0 dB on that loop back up as well. Put it up to about maybe 50 dB or maybe 20.
Which one's that one? Over here?
Yeah,
there we go. And just, oh, good man.
Testing right. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, there we go.
How's that, everybody? Is that a bit better for Vinny?
One can only hope. There we go. That seems to be about right at 2.4 dB.
Well done. Okay. Well, I just want to share my thoughts on it. Is I used to be, of course, very, very pro-police, and I still am. I've still got mates in the police right now. I've got a very, very good friend of mine that's in the police. I was a member of the police for a short time before that. Before I was in the army, I was I helped run the Hunters Plaza Community Policing Office for just over a year, and wanted to support the community in any way I could, which is why you join the army and you join these services. But when I look at that, when I look at the image of you being arrested and myself, I think to myself, you know, just how stupid are these police people, really? Because God knows the future from the beginning. He knows the end from the beginning. And, you know, would I have still been in the police and would I have got the jab? No. Would I have worn a mask? No. Would I have arrested people for violating COVID-19 orders? No, I wouldn't have done any of that. My friend, by the way, hasn't done any of that. He lost his job. And when the mandates got taken to the court, they challenged the police. They won. He got his job back. And so now we've got him and probably a couple of hundred other police officers that are like us. They love freedom. They're not going to get jabbed. They're not going to wear masks. They're not going to arrest people for breaching COVID laws that they know are anti-Bill of Rights, 1990 Bill of Rights Act, and anti-human rights. And this is the problem. When I look at that arrest of you and me, Vinny, now, I see children that are unawake and that are really lining their own children up to be slaves. That's really what I see. And, you know, I was very, you know, I couldn't believe it when I was taken to the police van when I was arrested. My, you know, for one, they didn't, arrest me with my hands behind my back. My hands, they arrested me with, and cuffed me from the front. And, you know, they got me there, put me in the paddy wagon and gave me a brand new fresh bottle of cold water. And, you know, they were very decent in that way. But the problem was, when I saw you, I knew you were going to get hot. I knew that you were upset. And I said to them, handcuff you to the front and take your jacket off. And they didn't blink and listen to me. And they put you in that 4'8", was it? 4'8", cubicle in this paddy wagon on a hot day with a jacket on. And so, you know, and I remember telling them, look, he's going to overheat. You've got a distressed prisoner in the back there, fix it up. And they were just unbelievable. They were just so brainless, really, mindless, moralless to understand that here they have a non-violent prisoner not offering any resistance, in distress, overheating, and not having a good time of it. Me, myself, I would have come, if I'd been the arresting police officer, I would have done it completely different with you. I would have got you there. I would have gone, right, let's get this jacket off this guy, make a move and I'll spray you. Got the jacket off, put your hands, maybe even back again, but got the jacket off, or left them out the front and got your bottle of the water, which is what they did with me. So I'm still sad to see that, Vinny. I really, really am. And you know, the time that we spent in the remand centre was very, very sad. It was hard, really, to see that. Now I'm just going to, and you were in the cell next to me, and I'm going to be back in a cell. But look, everybody, on the 4th of September, when I go to defend myself from the electoral charges, it's just not going to be like what we went through, Vinny. They locked me up in the cell for a day at the district court, and I'm going to be there all day, every day for 4 days.
Oh, my gosh.
You believe that? Yep. And then they released me at the end of the day once the day has been done. So that's what I've, that's what they are doing to me, and as well as the audacity to say that I'm a fraud and a liar, I tell you. Anyway, let's have a look at this, and then we'll unpack it some more. Oop, here we go.
That's right, I'm good. Hold me. Because they'll grab me. Hold me. Yeah. They think you're dragging me, but hold me. All right, thanks everyone. I'm getting arrested, but these guys are good guys. They don't want to see violence. We don't want to see violence. Stay calm. Stay cool, everybody. Yeah, I'm good, bro. Thanks. No, I'll hold it, because I'm filming it. Yeah, I know. I know the process, bro. Okay. Yeah, I'm good, bro. Okay, thanks, guys. All right, so, you know what? We knew this was coming. And but I hope that there's not violence going on. Please email people back there and tell them not to be violent. I got to do the right thing.
Just
yeah. Have you got an Oika?
We're a van. We're a van team. They're new vans, though.
Oh, nice.
So they're nice and clean.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Hold on. I just say goodbye to these guys. Guys, I'm fine. These are good dudes. Okay. So don't panic. Please text people at the march to be calm. Please text them. Let them know. Let them know it's all good. These are good young dudes.
Okay. So, you know, what can you say? I think really it was quite amazing that they let me continue the film all that long, actually. I think that's pretty unusual. And but, you know, like I always say, you know, it's keep calm, keep the peace in your spirit, and deal with it. And family, can I get you to share this as well? Please, can I ask you to share this broadcast tonight? Now, Vinny, on a couple of weeks ago, on the 31st of July, you and I appeared at the Auckland High Court, and we spent the day. Sister Bajra was there. Some of my rangatira whānau came up from down the King Country to support us, and Uncle Raz and Auntie Barb were there, and we had, you know, just great people turn up to support. And wasn't it strange listening to the argument of the Crown Prosecutor saying, talking about our crimes and saying, we've got footage of Mr. Tekahika hugging people and being hugged and, you know, egregious, you know, come on, give us a break. And didn't it sound, I couldn't believe I was listening to it. The police prosecutor, we've got rapists, child molesters, ram raiders, shotgun killers, manslaughter people getting home detention and committing in crimes out there, and people stealing, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars out there committing crimes. And he's saying, seriously, to the judge, we've got footage of Mr. Tekahika being hugged and he's hugging people. This man is a serial hugger. Good grief.
Just the egregious disrespect of the social distancing rules. You know, these guys deserve 3 months prison because they were standing within 2 meters of another person.
Yeah, 4 months for me, don't forget.
Oh, yes.
And that's what Paul Borich, my lawyer, said. He said, so at the end of the day, you want to jail Mr. Tekahika for being less than 2 meters away from someone. Now, that raises an interesting point, Vinny. The police prosecutor changed the police's position completely, didn't they? They said if we had kept 2 meters apart, we wouldn't have been arrested. We'd never heard that before in our lives, had we?
Mm-mm. Well, I mean, when Black Curran gave me the readout of the, I think that's my nickname for him, you know, like Black Adam, but worse. And he had this piece of paper that he tried to read, and I was listening to him, and the crowd was like reacting and stuff like that, and he could have continued to talk, but he didn't. He just threw his arms up in the air and just stomped off like a little troll, and then came back and then literally threw a piece of paper at me through the crowd, you know, and considered that explaining what he was doing. All right. That's what he said in court, that he felt that he'd explained it thoroughly. Okay. Now, I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but if somebody goes like that, whoosh, have you ever thought to yourself, man, he explained that really thoroughly, you know, he just threw it at me and now I've got no unanswered questions. Just a complete baffling madness. All right, we're dealing with mass psychosis that is being perpetrated upon the population by order followers, people who don't follow their conscience, people who don't follow their reason, people who do not, under any circumstances, consider the consequences of their actions before taking them. Order followers. These are the people who are most directly responsible for all the terrible things that have happened throughout history. It doesn't matter whether it's a communist regime or a fascist regime. The one thing they have in common is people blindly obeying those in authority. And, you know, that's a betrayal, all right, of the public trust, of their oath and so forth. And I believe it was Dante who he talked about the seven rings of hell, and he said that the worst was for those who betray.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you something, Vinny. You know, when I became a sworn police officer, member of the police, when I took my oath, I didn't think for a second that it would ever be possible that you would arrest peacefully protesting non-criminal New Zealanders. I wouldn't have thought it possible once upon a time. I just wouldn't have thought that that was possible. You know, and one thing the judge said to us at the High Court, he said, you know, after my lawyer, Paul Borich, had read out my community service and, you know, talked about who I am, what I am, you know, the judge looked at him and said, well, why wasn't, you know, what's a non-custodial penalty even discussed? You know, and that's what Paul said. Well, that's the point. It wasn't. The pre-sentencing report said I should either receive a fine or community detention, which is not even home detention. It's community detention where you live your normal life as long as you're home for the weekend. That's what my pre-sentencing report was, prison not recommended. And yet this judge that we both know, when he was a lawyer in 2015, defended a child pornographer with 6,000 child porn images. He defended that man who was meant to go to jail and got him home detention. And he wants to put you and I, two family men, you know, for something like this, away in prison. You know, it just, you know, if this doesn't say to ordinary New Zealanders and policemen, security intelligence service agents and police intelligence section staff that are watching this tonight, if this doesn't tell you that something's wrong, deeply wrong, with our country, then maybe you need to have a really good look at yourselves, because this is a major problem. You know, I would defend the right of a communist to be a communist, defend the right of a lefty to be a lefty, a tranny to be a tranny, whatever. And so this is about civil liberties for everyone. And the sad thing about this is what it's telling people from all walks of life is, if you protest and the government says you're not allowed to, are you going to protest if they're doing something that's harming you, your whānau, and community? Are you going to feel like protesting if you're seen people like us get the treatment we've had? And the answer is it's a chilling effect and probably no.
Yeah, I mean, how many protests were there during the level 4 lockdown after the one we did? Zero.
Yeah, but there was one on the day, and that's the man Johnson. Now, this is something for everybody to listen to, is there's a man that did exactly the same thing as us or me. He organized a protest on level 4. He had organized it. He attended it. 100 people were there, same amount of people as ours. And he got a $100 fine without conviction, Vinny.
Well, when was this? Was this on the same day?
Yeah. Around the same day, same time, level 4. And this is the thing that Paul pointed out to the High Court judge and said, look, it's here. This man did exactly the same thing. He went to court and got a discharge without conviction. And the discharge was a $100 fine. It's just unbelievable. And it's, you know, almost $50,000 later.
Mm.
And two years of pain, Vinny.
Yeah, and it's not... Another thing that I wanted to stress to people is that when you attack somebody who's a family man, it doesn't just affect him. It affects all his kids, and it affects his missus, all right? And it affects his family as well. And the thing that's really brutal about this whole thing is that people don't realize that. People don't realize what happens to somebody's family when a member of their family is going through this kind of situation. I mean, like, I think my behavior, like, in my relationship is, like, really poor. I started my relationship with Rebecca after this arrest had happened, and it didn't occur to me how much damage had actually happened to me emotionally, spiritually, from this, and how difficult I actually am to get along with now because of what's happened to me to a large degree. So, you know, I'm trying to work on myself now, because I understand the fact that whatever happened to me, sure, that's done and gone, and now I have to deal with the consequences, and I shouldn't be making it other people's problem.
I think, yeah, there's another way you can look at that, Vinny, is that what I've learned over the last 3.5 years, and I'm 51 now, is it takes courage to stand up against something that we feel in every part of our being that is wrong. It takes courage, it takes faith, it takes moral fiber, it takes a spine to actually walk the talk and get out there and stand up and say no. No, this is not acceptable. No, this is intolerable for a free society and citizens that belong to it. And this is not right. And I would love to be able to say, man, if I could, I wouldn't have done it. But the truth is, I would have done it. That's the truth of it. Because I was compelled to, I knew that people were going to commit suicide, which they did. I knew that people would be hurt and harmed, which they were. And I knew that I had to shed light on it. Because you'll notice one thing. After that, they never used a lockdown again, other than that little time that Chris Chipkins cost the Northland community $23 million by making out two women crossed into Northland illegally that they were COVID-19 and they were prostitutes, when it turned out they didn't have COVID, they didn't go over illegally, and they weren't prostitutes, and yet he locked Northland down for 8 days and cost our economy $23 million. And he just says, oh, and he lied about it. That's the thing. He lied about it. But one thing I will say is that I think it brought it to a head, Benny, that they knew the game was up with the lockdowns. I think what they did to us really was enough to say to a lot of people, they've crossed the line. I really do. I really believe that.
There's a possibility that what happened to us actually fomented the energy behind the convoy that went down to Wellington and resulted in that big protest there as well. So, and indeed, Brian Tamaki coming out, and he got arrested during a lockdown too. I think it was, what was it, level two, level three? I think I forget which. But what is interesting is the Milgram experiments. They showed that if somebody was an authority figure, like a person in a lab coat, like a Nazi or an authority figure or something like that, and if you had to get an ordinary person to kill another person with an electric shock or something of that nature, they found that 90% of people would do it. That was the first part of the experiment, which was very highly publicized. What was much less highly publicized was the second part of the experiment, where they took those 10% of people that successfully refused to administer these electric shocks to this person. They weren't actually giving electric shocks, they just thought they were, the person was acting. And showed them to the next person coming in, showed somebody refusing an authority figure. And they found that once people had seen someone else successfully standing up for themselves and saying no, that it gave them the courage to also say no, almost all of them. So that's why in this cult-indoctrinated country, you need to smash very, very hard anybody who is significantly seen to be standing up. That's probably why our sentence was much worse than the guy who got $100, because you and I both had a platform that was really highly followed at the time for that protest, and also because of our personality, what we mean to New Zealanders. And they wanted to hurt us just because it would hurt New Zealanders. And they might not be so glad that they did, because a lot of people got very, very upset with the government and immediately saw them for what they were, which again was the intention behind the protest. As we were driving to Auckland, you asked me, Vinny, do you think we're going to get arrested? I was like, yep. And you're like, well, why are we doing it? And I said, well, there's an old saying, Billy. How do you expose a fascist? By making them act like it.
Dead right. Now, I just want to talk about the documentary. Now, in episode one, I've got you in episode one, Vinny, and captured in fact, we finish episode one documentary essentially with the interview that I did with you and a short caption about our arrest. And I think it's really significant, and I think it's going to tell a lot. It's going to round off episode one really beautifully. We are waiting for our appeal now. Now, originally, the same judge that sentenced us to prison and put us out on bail, the same guy tried to prevent us from talking about our case. And he basically said, well, you're not allowed to talk about it. He tried to gag us to stop us from talking about our appeal. We had to go to the High Court and get that overturned, which we did. But we now can talk about it. I just want to share with you and my view to the listeners is that my impression of the judge that we had that day is I actually think he's just an ordinary Kiwi man. I don't think he's evil. I don't think he's a bad guy. I actually think he's probably a normal, fair guy. That's my assessment of him. I hope I'm not wrong. I don't think I am wrong, but I do. I think he's really going to look into this. I think he's in a real, real hard one on this. I think in one respect, it's incredibly easy. We're protected by the Bill of Rights. The order itself was not lawful that they pushed out with only 34 minutes gazette time before it went before it came an enforceable order, when they're meant to give 48 hours notice. They didn't do any of that. 34 minutes, Vinny, is not 48 hours. And so therefore the order was unlawful. He knows that. And the Crown couldn't argue against that because we asked for information about that and they couldn't do it. Now, you know, I think the judge really, if he's a fair man like I think he might be, you know, he's going to have to let us go. Because the fact is, you know, where are we now? 2 years on, we now know that COVID is a big, big, big nothing. And it's, you know, and it is. It's a nothing. Yeah, it may have been dangerous to the already unwell and the comorbidity people out there. And I always said that. I don't even believe, look, my personal view is I don't believe that the virus exists, but I believe the virus was created for the vaccine, not the vaccine for the virus. I believe it was the other way. But that aside, you know, we're living life 2 years later. The lockdowns didn't work. They know it. They admit and regret using them. It's a influenza equivalent disease. Everyone knows that. These articles are all about that now. And here we are. And they're trying to jail us now for knowing that what they were telling us at the time was, at the very best end of it, was a big mistake and just an honest mistake. And at the other end was blatant dishonesty.
These people are liars and yeah. Sociopaths, and which means that they could murder a human being or by their inaction allow a human being to be murdered. And if I said to you, boat, cucumber, murder, okay, you would have a completely different emotional reaction to that third word. Psychopaths do not. They think just as much about murder in the way that they think about it as they would a boat or a cucumber. No emotional attachment whatsoever. So yeah. This is the situation that we're dealing with here, is people whom the average person lacks the imagination to understand. Okay? You and I, even me, even the extensive research and interviews that I've done on the subject of psychopathy, is incapable of imagining what they will think and what they will do at any one time, because I possess a conscience. Mm. If I lie to somebody, it makes me feel really bad about it. If I betray somebody, it makes me feel really bad about it. These people can lie, betray, cheat, steal, murder without so much as a second thought about it. No regret, no remorse. That's what we're dealing with here at the end of the day, and it's truly a terrifying adversary to go against. That's why vampire myths came up, because these were myths that ancient people had to tell each other and talk in code in order to understand beasts in their midst. How do you get a vampire into your life? The same as a psychopath, you have to invite them in. Right? It's a terrifying sort of monstrosity that we are dealing with, and people best be up with the play that unless you know what it is you're dealing with, they will be able to deal to you without consequence.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, Vinny, I just want to say I'm feeling hopeful about our appeal. Everybody, if you could keep me in your prayers for the 4th of September, that's why I wanted to do the launch on the 3rd of September, to be with everybody, to launch the documentary, and I would. I'd be very, very honoured. I'd be very, very blessed if people would join me on this very big occasion of releasing episode 1 of The River of Lies, the New Zealand Scamdemic investigative documentary. People, you're gonna love it. Honestly, I promise. You're going to have a tool that people can use to wake other people up. And Vinny, I just want to say that I do. I feel positive about that. I feel positive about my case for my electoral charges. I'm innocent of it. I didn't defraud. I didn't do anything like that whatsoever. There was no intent. There's There's no evidence to any of that. I bent my back over to the point of breaking to make sure that my declaration was right, and they know that, and yet they're making an example, trying to make an example of me, and trying to say I tried to hide $15,000 and deceive $15,000. And it's what's really funny is the Pati Māori, Te Pati Māori, had a problem with the Electoral Commission for $300,000, and I've never heard a thing about that. Nothing.
Well, yep, and even Rodney Hyden, the ACT Party back in the day, had an undeclared $50,000 worth of office space that was donated to them by a wealthy donor, and you know, all sorts of things. This is normal. Fraud in New Zealand is normal. If you're towing the line, if you're in favour of communism and the extermination and enslavement of mankind, of course you can get away with crimes. Of course. How do you think we're going to get this system into place?
Well, I tell you what, part of this is about exposing the truth and helping everybody to learn it. Thank you, brother, for being with me on this journey. I will see you tomorrow at midday, around about 12:30, I believe. And we'll do our midday show. So tonight is a 2-year anniversary since we decided we would stand up against harm, lockdown, harm and tyranny. And tomorrow is the 2-year anniversary of our arrest. So I'll see you tomorrow at 12:30 on the Vinnie Eastwood show. And thank you for being a good friend. And I would love to see you at Bible study sometime soon. Just hold there a second, brother. I'll be right back with you. I'll just say my goodnight spiel. And I'll be right back. Thanks, bro. All right, everyone. That's it from me tonight and Brother Vinny. And, you know, I just want to acknowledge Vinny. He was the first. There were other people with print items and doing things, but he was the first guy to do the Alex Jones thing in New Zealand. It was Vinny. And before anyone else, he was out there going to the protests, going to sting people, going to do all these things. He was the first guy, as far as I'm aware, and I believe. And so we've really got to acknowledge him. So keep him, little Alfie and Alina and Rebecca in your prayers. And please keep me in your prayers as well, guys. I will be at home tomorrow, so I'll send you a message tomorrow night. Tomorrow night's the Sabbath. Please consider joining my weekly Bible studies starting tomorrow night at 7:30. And on Sabbath day at 12:30, just email me at billy@ibc. Where is my email? Here it is. All right, here's my email. If you'd like to join me for Bible study, then this is the way to go just here. Email me, and I'll send you the links. It's on Skype. And if you would like to donate to either my legal fees or to help me keep going fighting this fight, then this is the bank account to do it. And if you'd like to order your tickets and register for the grand opening on the 3rd of September in Auckland for the River of Lies, the New Zealand Scandemic, this is just email me here. Meanwhile, whānau, have a really good night. Be safe, keep warm, and forgive those who despitefully use you. We are all accountable to God, and we will be. So I'm just grateful that my baggage is my sins are taken care of by the blood of the Lamb. And I really want to invite you to take advantage of that awesome offer. For the King, he cometh. He's coming soon. All right, family. Pō marie, good night, and I'll see you soon, God willing. Good night, whānau.